Dr. Matthew Page. He's an assistant professor of public health at the College of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina. His research interests include the impact of societal factors on HIV and other STDs in marginalized populations, and he currently teaches undergraduate courses in epidemiology and biostatistics.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Matt Page, and I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Nicole Chapman. She is a recent graduate of our program, and so we are a wholly undergraduate program, so the research that we've conducted and is with, she was an undergraduate when we did it. So I'd like to also acknowledge Ms. Noble. It was interesting to see that the two examples that you gave were from South Carolina, so that kind of sets the stage for the state in which this research was conducted. Okay? So I'm starting off on the premise that HIV transmission in the United States is characterized by low prevalence in the general population and a higher prevalence among disenfranchised and socially marginalized populations. So what we're trying to find out is what drives members of socially marginalized populations to take part in sexual risk behaviors. Okay. So in 2011, over half of Americans felt homosexual behavior is always, almost always, or sometimes wrong. That was 3 years ago. I'd be interested to see what the number is now. That was actually a large decrease from what we saw in 2008. So the types of sexual minority stigma that are being felt are enacted stigma, which is the experience of violence or ostracism or verbal assault. Felt stigma is the knowledge that enacted stigma could occur at any time. And then internalized stigma or internalized homophobia is the incorporation of those stigmas into a person's self-concept. Sexual stigma has been linked in several studies with HIV risk, looking at sexual risk behavior specifically, associated with actual perceived discrimination against and internalized stigma among men who have sex with men, MSM, and it's been associated with enacted and felt stigma shown to reduce self-acceptance and increase stress and anxiety and depression among MSM, and in turn, that stress, anxiety, and depression have been shown to lead to sexual risk behavior. Okay? So we're starting from the premise that structural factors and societal factors interact with individual factors. Those in turn lead to the stigma that we talked about, external, felt, and internalized, but they can also put people in difficult interpersonal and sexual situations. Those in turn interact and can lead to reduced self-efficacy for safe sex and increased interpersonal barriers for safe sex, which in turn interact and lead to sexual risk taking. Okay? The long road to get to. Okay, so HIV among MSM. MSM is the only risk group in the United States for which HIV incidence has actually been increasing since 2000. That's part of a broader international trend that we've seen in Western Europe, Australia, and Canada. And 62%, almost two-thirds of all new diagnoses in the U.S. in 2011 were due to male-to-male sexual contact. Okay. In South Carolina, specifically, 8 of the 10 states with the highest HIV diagnosis rates in 2011 were in the southern United States. South Carolina ranked 9th. In 2010, HIV prevalence exceeded the average in over half of the South Carolina counties, and in 10 of those counties, prevalence was more than twice the national average. Okay. So our study objective, based on the premise that efforts to increase tolerance of and reduce discrimination against MSM could be a viable alternative to behavioral interventions, we decided the first step would be to describe perceptions of discrimination among MSM in South Carolina. So our methods were we conducted a recruitment via Facebook between June 13th and July 15th, 2013, 33 days the survey was open. We used 12 banner ads with a variety of language. We aimed that at Facebook people whose Facebook profiles said they were 18 years and older, male, and reside in South Carolina. Since we were looking at 18 years and older, the gap between Facebook and Vine and Instagram probably wasn't as big a deal, but I think we're definitely, as this type of research progresses, we're going to have to think about other ways to recruit people. Okay? So if they clicked on one of these Facebook ads, they were taken to a survey on Qualtrics, asked to complete 4 screening questions. Are they 18 years older? Are they male? Do they reside in South Carolina? And then had they had a male sexual partner in the past 12 months? If they qualified for that, they were taken to the informed consent and then given the remainder of the survey. Survey, we asked age, city of residence, their race, ethnicity, whether or not they had a main male partner, someone they considered above all others to be important in their life, and then what the status of that relationship was. If they were married, if that marriage was legally recognized, if they were boyfriend living together or living separately, or another status, and if they self-reported STD diagnosis in the past year. And then we asked them 16 questions about perceived discrimination. We looked at the degree of agreement with positive and negative statements about discrimination against gay and bisexual men in the city of residence. It was a 5-point scale ranging from strongly disagree up to strongly agree. And those scale responses were recoded to reflect greater discrimination. So if they strongly agree with a negative statement about gay and bisexual men, that was high discrimination. If they disagreed with a positive statement about gay and bisexual men, that was high discrimination. So we created two discrimination summary scales, looking, one, the overall scale that included all 16 statements, and the score on that could range from 0 to 64. And then we looked at a partial scale that was 9 statements that could range from 0 to 36. We calculated descriptive statistics, and then we did linear regression based on those two summary scales as our outcome of interest. So respondent, we actually had over 10 million impressions leading to 3,300 clicks. 985 people initiated the survey, and 253 were qualified or consented to complete the survey. Okay. So 18 to 34-year-old, predominantly 35 to 54, so we had a decent age spread. One down, I think, had something to do with our recruitment method, is that we saw a predominantly white sample population. African-American population in South Carolina is about 28%, so we only saw 7% in our population. 44% said they had a main male partner, and most of those people said that they were married or had a boyfriend. And only something that we were surprised, only 6.5% or 14 people said they had an STD diagnosis in the past 12 months. So looking at the questions about perceptions of discrimination, about 2/3 of people agreed that most people in their town think less of a man who is gay or bisexual. Over half disagreed that people would treat, or most people would treat, a gay or bisexual man the same as anyone else. 2/3 felt that most people would not hire a gay or bisexual man to care for their children, and that was the largest negative response we saw in any of the questions about how was caring for their children. And over half expressed a desire to live someplace with a stronger gay community. Looking at our perceived discrimination scales, the overall score that could range from 0 to 64, we had about a 35, and the partial scale that could range from 0 to 36, we had about a 20. And one thing we saw is that both the overall and partial scales showed a general decrease with age, and that was agreement with prior research by Newcomb and Mastansky showing that the link between internalized stigma and sexual risk tends to wane over time. Okay? And our linear regression results, looking specifically at the overall discrimination scale, we saw, again, the decrease with age, and interestingly, we saw a pretty strong decrease with STD diagnosis. So STD diagnosis was coded as 0 for no, 1 for yes. So if they had an STD diagnosis, they were much less likely to report higher discrimination. However, both our R-square and adjusted R-squares were pretty negligible. So what's driving perception of discrimination? We still need to do a little more work. Okay? So the strengths, it's the first research of its kind, really, in South Carolina. That I'm aware of. The recruitment method, I think, because of the state of South Carolina, that was kind of mentioned some of the issues that MSM might face there, it allowed for anonymity and hopefully addressed some possible social desirability bias. Then again, limitations, the recruitment method was also a limitation. It didn't allow for randomization because it was mostly a convenience sample, an online convenience sample. Like we talked about earlier, it was mostly a white sample, so not really indicative of the entire MSM population in South Carolina. And the idea that respondents were restricted to only those sexually active in the past 12 months doesn't encompass all people that may identify as gay or bisexual. However, we think those are the people that are going to be at the highest risk of acquiring HIV or another STD, so we thought it was worth making that restriction. So we concluded that our levels of prescribed discrimination that we saw, you say perceived a lot, it's hard to say. So, perceived discrimination, perceptions of discrimination against MSM in South Carolina indicate that efforts to increase tolerance and reduce discrimination against these men could be an effective alternative to behavioral interventions that have shown mixed effect in terms of reducing sexual risk. The issue of determining specific drivers of these perceptions and leverage points for intervention, and how to reduce the stigma would require further study. Okay, I'd like to acknowledge Rob Stevenson and Patrick Sullivan from Emory University, where I did my PhD. They played a large role in developing the questions that we asked. Our department provided some funding for asking the questions, and I'd like to thank all the survey respondents. I got crazy and put my disclosure at the end. It was kind of nothing to disclose, so I figured I was safe. And thank you.